You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 1, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're on the air with a live SoundCloud taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America. And then, as the Holy Spirit leads and operates in His gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, I pray for everybody who comes one by one. And we pray for healing, and people are being healed. And we pray for deliverance from drugs and alcohol. So Wednesday is your party, Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and Truth Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sullivan's Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we've learned that the book of Hebrews is God's school to His church. He starts us in kindergarten and graduates us from college because we start out as a baby Christian and we have to grow and then we have to mature. So it's a college education. Hallelujah. Now, we learned last time that Hebrews chapter 7 is entitled Melchizedek, 28 verses devoted to Melchizedek. Melchi in the Hebrew is king. Zedek is the dot or the elect, king of the just. And we learned that in Genesis chapter 14, Melchizedek met Abraham. Abraham worshipped him and gave his tithes to him. And that was a pre-incarnate Jesus. But then Jesus later came through the Virgin Mary and was with us and became our Savior. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, you and the exciting millennium. You and the exciting millennium.
Verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum.
Paul says, now about Melchizedek, I am going to sum it all up for you. So he's going to quickly sum it up from verses 1 through 9. When we get to verse 10, we're going to talk about you and the exciting millennium.
We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Melchizedek is Jesus. He's in heaven there. And Ephesians 1 says he sits there in heavenly places.
Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
There's a tabernacle in heaven that's a sanctuary or a church, and Jesus is the head.
Verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer.
Now, before Jesus came, the high priest, and the first one was Moses' brother Aaron of the tribe of Levi, they would have to offer animal sacrifices for the sins of the people. But it didn't last very long because they sinned again, and the next year they had to do it all over again. But Jesus had something better to offer. He's the sacrificial lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7. One time only, his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood will never lose its power.
Verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that they are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things.
In the Bible, these people who are in there, they were real people. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that they were examples. That means they were types and shadows for those of us who come to the end of the age. Examples.
As Moses was admonished of God.
Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus, because Moses was used by God to deliver the people from slavery in Egypt. Jesus came and delivered us from slavery to sin.
When he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Verse 6.
Now, when God took Moses up to Mount Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments, God wrote those on a stone with his finger, God also showed Moses the tabernacle in heaven, a pattern, and said, Moses, I want you to make one on earth. Now, they were traveling through the wilderness going to the promised land, so it had to be movable. So what it was a tent, but not like our pretty little flimsy party tents. It was made of lamb skin. And the Mosaic temple that Moses made after the one in heaven had an outer court and had an inner court. The outer court was where the people would come in there, and the high priest would pray for them and teach them God's word and sprinkle the blood on them for the remission of sins. And then there was a veil between the outer court, and the high priest only could go into the inner court. There he would offer the animal sacrifices on the altar for the sins of the people. But there was one more veil there, and behind that was called the Holy of Holies. The presence of Almighty God was there. In there was what is called the Ark of the Covenant. It was a box, and it had a lid on it overlaid with gold, and that was called the Mercy Seat. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was a jar of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the Ten Commandments.
But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry.
It's better the way Jesus does it now.
By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant.
A covenant is a contract. It's talking about the blood covenant. The blood of animals and all. God had a legal law in heaven that he could accept that for the sins only for 1 year. But Jesus was a better covenant because he only had to shed his blood once and for all. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Which was established upon better promises. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second.
If the blood of animals could have taken care of our sins forever, we would not have needed Jesus. But only Jesus' blood can wash away our sins.
Verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Notice that Holy Spirit says through Paul, two houses. Very sadly, most people in the world only realize there's one house. They call it Judah, and they just shorten it to Jew. They leave the R off. But there are 12 tribes of Israel, and they split. And when Ezra and Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall after they'd been in captivity in Babylonia to Nebuchadnezzar 70 years, only two tribes went back. That was the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. And they were called the house of Judah. The other 10 tribes, 200 years earlier, had been captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian. First, they went north to Samaria, and history verifies that they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, and settled Great Britain. The word Hebrew in the Hebrew is Eba or Brit. So they called themselves Ephraim. They had a spat and they broke off, and a larger bulk of those tribes came to Canada and these United States of America.
Verse 9, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
What happened? The children of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for about 400 years. God told Moses to lead them out. They went through the wilderness, and they went around and around the mountain. And when they got to a place called Kadesh Barnea, they rebelled against Moses and said, we're not going to let you lead us into the promised land. So God said, okay, I'll let you die here in the wilderness. But some did go in. Joshua and Caleb led a few of the younger ones there. So they did go into the promised land. So eventually the promised Messiah, Jesus, could come and pay our sin debts. So they weren't all there. But there's nothing new under the sun. There are Christians all over this world. Many are called, but few are chosen. Very few Christians are totally sold out for Jesus. Oh, they love the Lord. And they, you know, go to church. But they got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They're not totally sold out to him. So you don't have to be in the pulpit. You can be a layperson. But your whole life is supposed to be about God.
Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
After those days means after the days that we are here in the flesh one time. Soon and very soon, the instead of Christ, the fake one, will appear. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. His time's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13 and Matthew 24, to 5 months, Revelation 9. And then the seventh trump shall sound, the seventh action, and the Lord Jesus shall come. And when he comes, that is called the day of the Lord. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is the Lord. So a millennium is 1,000 years. So Jesus will be here, and we will all be here. But what happens to us? The first thing that happens to us is documented in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 52. Every human being, saved and lost alike, will step into your spirit suits from your body suits in a moment. At the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall all be changed. Every human being on earth will step out of your body suit into your spirit suit. So you think you're a body. That's why you give it so much attention. No, 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 no. You're a spirit. You're going to step into the spirit. Okay. Now, in the spirit, 1,000 years doesn't seem any time, because in the spirit, there is absolutely no time. So everybody on earth and Jesus and the people he's bringing with him in the spirit will be here on planet Earth. Well, what's going to happen? There's going to be teaching on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20. And we shall rule and reign with him 1,000 years. Reign means to teach. Ezekiel 44 says the same thing. Well, why in the world will we need teaching when Jesus is here and we're in our spirit bodies? Because the church is not ready for heaven on earth, which will happen, Revelation 21, after the millennium, after the great white throne judgment, after the lake of fire and all evil's done. God's going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem down here, and it'll be heaven on earth. But see, in heaven, everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. So the church is going to need some teaching. See, some Christians never read their Bible. Some people come to church and hear the Bible, but they never do the Bible. Oh, they pick and choose. So, well, I'll do this part, but I won't do this part. Listen to me, body of Christ, all over the world. Most Christians say, well, I'm only human. I'm just a mere mortal. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved?
Yes.
Okay, I guess you're saved. Okay. If you're saved, it says in Colossians 1, Christ in you, your hope of glory. Paul says, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. And he says, I myself do nothing, the Father within, he doeth the work. Is Christ only human? No, he's Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So, while you're in a flesh body, you've been making excuses to be a boring, the devil's got me all the time, can't do anything, I'm just a human being, kind of a Christian. And you are not a right ambassador of Christ. Christians ought to be living supernaturally right now, because we live, yet not I, Christ lives in us. Now, the devil knows the playing field. He knows their leg. The devil is going to bring sickness on your body. He's going to steal your money. He's going to mess up your relationships. And he's going to mess up your job. We do have that happen to us, but we get up. We overcome, overcome, overcome. And Jesus said, whoever overcomes will sit with me in my throne for all eternity. So you see, we're to be supernatural Christians. We're to live a supernatural life. No matter what happens, we get up and we overcome and we have the victory in the mighty name of Jesus and by his blood and by his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So stop being mere human. Let's let Jesus live his life through you. Okay. But you say, okay, so there's going to be teaching. Well, won't the devil try to come and mess up the teaching, that old Antichrist? Because he certainly does now, doesn't he? See, you know, you thought you didn't go to church because you didn't need to. You thought you didn't go to church because you got a new business. You thought you didn't go to church because you want to play your video games on Wednesday night. You thought you didn't go to church because you got a friend you want to go out to dinner. You don't feel like it. Mm-mm. The devil did that. His job in Mark 4 is to steal the word. And so he messes up the church now. He sends demons into congregations and makes a mess and does all kind of bad things. But not in the millennium. He's not going to mess up anything. How do I know that? In Revelation 9, he's called the king of the bottomless pit. And in Revelation 20, when Jesus comes, there's going to be an angel coming down with a key to the bottomless pit and a chain in his hand. And this heavenly angel is going to take that old dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, he's got all those names, and he's going to lock him into that pit for 1,000 years. That chain means that he's going to lock his spirit so the devil can't go to and fro to mess up the Bible class. Isn't that great?
Amen.
No more devil, at least for 1,000 years. However, Revelation 20 says at the end of the millennium, the devil is going to be released for just a little while. Why? To test those who have been taught. Because don't we get tested? They're going to get tested too. Okay. So who's going to do the teaching for those 1,000 years? The priest of God. You say, uh-oh, that leaves me out. No, it doesn't. Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Okay, you'll finally say yes if you are. Okay, Revelation 1 says God has made you a priest and a king unto him. But not all priests shall teach, and there's a reason. There are two classifications of priests in the millennium. One will not teach, and one will. So, for homework, I want you to read Ezekiel 44. I'm going to teach it without any notes here, without any scripture. It tells us that when Jesus comes in, Ezekiel 44, that he comes in through the east gate, and that gate's going to be locked. And then Jesus is going to go to the north and sit on the throne, for God's throne is on the temple. Now that area where he will be there, the Temple Mount, is called the sanctuary. Where Jesus will be is called the inner court. Remember the tabernacle? Inner court. Jesus will be there, and only the priests who are going to be able to teach the people will be able to go in there. But there is an outer court, and outside will be all the people who are going to be taught, and also those priests who will not be taught. Ezekiel 44 says, those priests went astray. They are some of the biggest ministries in the world. They're everywhere with all of that money and all of that fame. They went astray. It said they polluted the bread. They polluted the word. Many of them teach the lie fly proverb, and that's in Ezekiel, that Margaret MacDonald, a demented woman, 1830, said that Jesus is going to fly us out of here before the Antichrist comes. Matthew 24 says Jesus is not coming until after the tribulation. So that was a lie. And they say we're going to be caught up in the air. They're misteaching. Air does not mean go in the sky. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it means to change in the breath of the body. 1 Corinthians 15:52, when Jesus comes, we are going to be changed. And they are going to worship the Antichrist and lead their flock to worship the Antichrist, because he comes before Jesus. He's going to look just like Jesus. Two horns of a lamb, the power of the Lamb of God, but the voice of the dragon. And so they are not going to be able to teach. Boy, is that going to be a big letdown. It says in Ezekiel 44, God is going to give them something to do, though. They're going to keep the gate. They're going to be the janitor. They're going to bear the water. They're going to usher. They will be ashamed and humiliated. But at least Jesus lets them do something. Well, what kind of priests are going to teach? Ezekiel 44, verses 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. The priests are going to teach are called the Zadok. Now remember Melchizedek, king of Zadok. These are God's very elect that do not go astray. Ephesians 1, 4, chosen from before the foundation of the world. Chosen even when we were in our spiritual bodies in the first earth age when Satan rebelled. When we're in the spirit there with God before we were born in the flesh. Okay, they're going to teach. Okay. Well, what are they going to wear when they teach? It says they're going to wear linen bonnets and linen clothes. And what does that mean? And they can go in where Jesus is and get the word from him and go out and teach it to others. Why the linen bonnets? Why the linen clothes? Revelation 19 says, the righteousness of saints, Zadok, weave their fine linen garment they shall wear. See, the other priests don't have on fine linen. The Zadok teach the word rightly, and they do the right thing. Now, it also says they'll have no wool on them. It's a metaphor. No wool can come on their eyes. You're not going to pull the wool on them. You can't do it now, and you can't do it then. Because even then, there are going to be people, even the spirit bodies, are going to try to con them so they can get to heaven, okay? No, no, no. See, the Zadok. Once you found the truth, nobody can deceive you. And then it says, no sweat shall be upon them. Now, the spirit body don't sweat. What does that mean? They're not going to sweat the program. Because since the devil right now tries to mess up with a true ministry, why, he even causes somebody to just interfere with your ministry on radio. They hack it. Or sometimes people call you on the phone and call you a false prophet. Our demons come in and mess up. No, no, no. Won't be then. No sweat. Okay. So they also, the Zadok, cannot go near any dead thing to defile themselves. Now, nobody's dead at this time. Even our loved ones and all the people who've gone, left their body, they're not dead. They are in paradise, Luke 16. Everybody who's ever been is on one side of paradise, Luke 16, or the other side. The saved are on the good side, in Abraham's bosom. All who heard the word and rejected it, heard the truth and never heard it, on the other side. But there are also some people on the other side who never heard the truth. And we'll get back to them in just a moment. So what are the Zadok going to teach? They're going to teach the difference between the holy and the profane. God is holy, and his word is holy. And the Bible is the Holy Bible. And when you pollute the word or twist it or add to or take away traditions of men which make void the word of God, you have polluted it. So they're going to teach you the difference between clean and unclean. Okay. So everybody is going to be taught by these priests. And what about those people on the wrong side of the gulf who never heard the truth? They did not get a chance to accept Jesus. They're on the wrong side because they could go on the other side. But verse 25 in Ezekiel 44 says, but for father, for mother, for son, for daughter, for brother or sister that have had no husband, the Zadok may go to them and teach them and reckon with them for 7 days. Now remember, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. In the book of Daniel, a week is 7 years. So for 7 years, we're going to be teaching them. What does it mean, had no husband? These are people, loved ones gone on, and people on earth right now who've never heard the truth. And we're going to teach them. And we're going to teach them the truth. They never had a chance. There are not two chances, but with some of the nonsense being taught today, some people never have any chance. So you may go to them and teach them. Now, will Jesus forgive them? Verse 26, 27, 28 says, the priest then may go to Jesus and say, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, these people had never heard the truth, and now they believe, Lord, and they ask forgiveness, and Jesus will forgive them. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Not two chances. Everybody hearing the truth now? If you don't get it now, you don't have a chance. But God is fair. He's just. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9.
Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
Now, what are they going to be teaching them? Because in the spirit body, everybody remembers Jesus from the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, and 7, the first earth age. Because remember Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7 says, when your body dies, your spirit returns to God who gave it. When you return, you were there before. So there, before Lucifer rebelled and brought in sin to the equation, we were all with God and we knew Jesus. So everybody knows Jesus. So it's going to be a discipline in the word. In other words, you're not only going to hear the word, you're going to do the word, so you'll be ready for heaven. Because heaven is the word. John 17, Jesus says that they may be one as we are one. Well, Jesus is the word, and we're going to marry him. Those people that didn't have a husband, they didn't marry Jesus. We're going to marry him, and we are one. So if he's the word, we're in the word. So in heaven, it'll be the word, the word, the word, the word. Our conversation, our lifestyle, we'll all hear the word. So you got to be ready to be full word. Just an absolute orderly word in Jesus' name, a discipline in the word. Amen. See, to be a disciple of Jesus means you're disciplined in the word. See, a lot of you hear the word now, but you don't discipline yourself in it, so you're not ready for heaven. Okay, all right, okay. Now, in the Apocrypha, which was in the original Bible, the Catholics left it in. Thank you, Catholics. The Protestants took it out. There's a book there called Second Esdras. Esdras is Greek for Ezra. Remember, we've got a book of Ezra in our Bible, so it would be the second Ezra. It says there that everybody who dies, since to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, saved and lost alike. The first thing that happens to everybody, everybody, always, is that they exult to see the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I see you. But the lost ones, countenance falls. Oh Lord, I did not accept you. And then they have to go to the other side of the gulf. So in the millennium, we won't say, do you know Jesus? Because they see him as walking among us. He's going to be right here with us there. But we have to discipline him, the word, so they're ready for heaven on earth, because that's going to be perfect.
Verse 12, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
When there's a dark, Ezekiel 44, go to Jesus and ask forgiveness for those they've just taught who never heard the truth. Jesus said, yes, I will forgive them. God puts the sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Mother Teresa used to say, and he puts up a sign, no fishing.
Verse 13, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Behold, all old things are gone, and all things are new. You and the exciting millennium. What are you going to be doing, I ask you. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What an awesome teaching tonight.
Awesome teaching, right ready for the body.
Amen.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 5:15.
Absolutely perfect.
Amen.
We did not collude. No. The Holy Spirit led you. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Absolutely.
Amen.
Now I'm going to pray for healing, but before I do, let me pray the prayer of salvation all over the world. I love you, all of you. God bless you. You're just welcome to the trumpet of truth. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me, meaning God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And order my steps.
And order my steps.
To the place you want me in the church.
To the place that you want me in the church.
In the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ.
Use me to win many souls to Jesus.
Use me to win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. The mouth is very important, what you say. I invite you to call me and tell me. In a little while, Scott will give you my telephone number. That is my voicemail. Leave your message there, and when I get it, I will pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You also may email your confession. Email me. My email is sharimedlock. trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, some of you never get your healing, even though when we pray for you, even anointed with oil, we can feel, many times I feel the Holy Spirit go right there, and if something blocks it and you don't get your healing. Now, not everybody's not healed for this reason, but many times the reason you're not healed is because you have bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness in your heart. And when the accuser of the brethren in the courts of heaven, Revelation 12, that old devil, sees that you've not forgiven someone who hurt you and you are still nursing it along, they can say to God, they can't be healed because I have a legal right to stop that. And so he does. Now, that's not the only reason you're not healed, but any one of you who has got some bitterness, somebody hurt you, and I understand that, been there, done that. But you've got to forgive them, and you think about it, it bothers you, and you say bad words against them, and words have power, you're cursing them with your words, so you can be healed. Let's repent of that now. Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of holding unforgiveness in my heart.
Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of holding forgiveness in my heart.
I give up resentment.
I give up resentment.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And forgive me.
And forgive me.
For word cursing these people.
for word cursing these people.
For blessings come out of the mouth or curses come out of the mouth.
For blessings come out of the mouth or curses come out of the mouth.
And Father, now I forgive that person.
Father, I forgive that person.
Who hurt me.
And I ask you to forgive them.
And I ask you to bless them. And now, Father, in the courts of heaven, the accuser of the brethren has no right to hurt me.
The accuser of the brethren has no right to hurt me.
Therefore, I ask you to heal me now. In the name of Jesus. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. He sent his word and healed you, delivered you from the destructions. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He restores health to you and healed you of your wounds. Pick up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the way, Jesus also did that. There were some examples of people brought to him who were paralyzed. And before he healed them, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven." And then he healed them. Others, like the woman with the blood thing, he didn't have to forgive her sins. It doesn't mean you're bad. You're just that person hurt you, and it keeps bothering you. So see, understand, sometimes that keeps you healing. I pray you are blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All over the world. God bless you. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, because I tell you the truth. And the truth you know and do will make you free. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Give your life for him. Give up your nonsense there. Jesus is coming again, and then the millennium. You don't want to be on the back row there. Come on, give it all up for Jesus. I love you too with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary Truth. Christian music, 91.5 FM. WMIE.
You have called us. stretches wide across the sky.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
One voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire. No other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the
listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA Coco Beach and Vieira.
Don't Tell me you love Jesus and you're as worried as your non-Christian neighbor about how you gonna make it.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why we still experience anxiety when God promises us peace.
The reason why we stay worried as a lifestyle is that first thing's on first. Priorities are out of order.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says the fact that we're worried can be a bigger problem than whatever we're worried about. Let's join him as he explains.
Today, I want to talk to you about another kind of freedom, one that we all need. I need it, you need it. And that's freedom from anxiety. Freedom from anxiety, or to use the more popular term, freedom from worry. Some of us worry to death. Other people worry others to death. But we are all face this snake around our minds and our emotions that immobilize us, called worry. And there's plenty to worry about. Some people are worried about the financial situation. That could be their job, their bills, paying the rent, things that have to do with material and financial responsibility, and you are worried.